We're going to read 1 through 7 for this morning. It says, "Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is none of his thoughts. His ways are always prospering. Your judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he sneers at them. He has said in his heart, 'I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity.' His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity." We're going to start on page 663. We'll sing, "O Church, Arise." And we will continue this psalm next week. O Church, arise and put your armor on. Hear the call of Christ our Captain. For now the weak can say that they are strong in the strength that God has given. With shield of faith and belt of truth, we'll stand against the devil's lies. Reaching out to those in darkness. Our call to war, to love the captive soul, but to rage against the captor. And with the sword that makes the wounded whole, we will fight with faith and valor. When faced with trials on side, we'll know the outcome is secure, and Christ will have the prize for which he died, an inheritance of nations. Come see the cross where love and mercy meet, as the Son of God is stricken. Then see his foes lie crushed beneath his feet, for the conqueror has risen. And as the stone is rolled away, and Christ emerges from the grave, this victory march continues till the day, every eye and heart shall see. So Spirit, come, put strength in every stride, give grace for every hurdle, that we may run with faith to win the prize of a servant good and faithful. And saints of old still line the way, and their calls and hunger for the day when with Christ we stand in glory." Amen. You may be seated.
Update on Pastor. I know many of you probably saw his condition last Sunday, and even Wednesday night it seemed that he had grown a little weaker than he was even on Sunday. They had an appointment on Thursday and found with the blood work that he had, his blood chemistry was off with elevated calcium levels in his blood, and they gave him a treatment for that. Well, Friday comes around and Heidi and Eric were over there at their house with their mom and dad, and they wound up calling an ambulance because he was confused and when they did, I went over there, and I got there about the same time as the ambulance did. And when I walked in the bedroom, honestly, when I looked at him, I thought he was probably getting ready to pass on. I thought the Lord was getting ready to call him home. It appeared to be very serious. And they took him to St. John's, and you got the updates with the e-news and the messages, and most of you have. I'm giving this report for those of you that haven't. They started pumping him full of fluids, trying to straighten out his blood chemistry, and yesterday afternoon, praise the Lord, he made a huge turnaround. His voice sounded completely different. It sounded strong. He sounded in his right mind, in his normal right mind. He was making jokes that us as a family appreciate. And I talked to him again this morning. His voice is improving and continues to improve. He talked with the doctor, and he's going to get to come home today. So we're very thankful for answered prayers in that. So did I leave anything out, guys? Is that complete enough? Oh, and I did leave something out. He told me to greet you all and to tell you that the Lord hasn't gave him his marching orders yet. He's going to keep him around. So hopefully for another 10 or 15 years. So let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can gather this morning in your house. I pray that you meet with us here in this place. As we have been already praising you for our pastor doing much better, we continue to bless your name for that. Lord, we thank you for hearing and answering our prayers, and we ask that you continue to give him strength and help him to recover. Lord, it's our heart's desire for him to have many more years standing behind this pulpit and pastoring us. We know that's his heart's desire, Lord, but we don't come demanding. We don't come naming and claiming, because we ask according to your will. We know that your will is good. We know that your will is perfect for all of those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And we humbly bow in your presence this morning, Lord. Lord, we pray for Kincaid and Mariah right now, and all of the Knight family after the loss of her dear father. I pray that you would comfort them as only you can, and just wrap your loving arms around them. Lord, we pray for all of our church family who are sick and afflicted. Brother Roger, I just pray that you be with him as his back and foot continue to heal. Lord, may he just feel your presence in his life. And Lord, for our shut-ins, those who don't feel comfortable getting out. Brother Claude, I just pray that you be with him. Brother Melvin, that you would just wrap your arms around them. Thank you for bringing our people back that were sick with the coronavirus. Thank you for keeping the rest of us from getting it. And I just pray that you put a hedge of protection around us. Lord, we pray for our country this morning as we are getting close to our election. Lord, as we take a survey of our land, we know that we probably haven't, as a nation, humbled ourselves before you and prayed enough for you to heal our land, but we ask for your mercy and grace anyway. We ask, Lord, that you intervene on our behalf, and that we would see a great revival and spiritual awakening in our country. May we return to you and the principles that this country was founded upon. We can only do that with your work, Lord, with you working in the hearts of men and women of our dear land. Lord, we ask that as we meet here in this place, that we worship you in spirit and in truth, And that you would receive glory and honor from all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bless you. We're going to continue now with our hymn of the month, which is on page 50. From the highest of heights to the depths of the sea, creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring, every creature unique in the song. Indescribable, uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim. Told every lightning bolt where it should go, or seen heavenly storehouses laden with snow. Who imagined the sun gives source to its light, yet conceals it to bring us the cool of night. None can fathom, indescribable, uncontainable, you place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God. You are amazing, God.
Amen. Next, we're going to go to page 600. And Pastor, I don't know if he's listening or not, but these next few songs are for all of us, but it's just to encourage us for what's ahead. On page 600, we'll sing When the Roll is Called Up Yonder.
When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, 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 I'll be there. On that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection shed, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the sky, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder,
is called, and yonder I'll be there. Let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, it's called up
Next, we'll go to page 615. We'll sing When the Morning Comes. Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But he'll guide us with his eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story. Our cherished plans have failed, disappointments have prevailed, and we've wandered in the darkness, heavy-hearted and alone. But we're trusting in the Lord, and according to His word, we will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by. Temptation's hidden snares often take us unaware, and our hearts are made to bleed for some thoughtless word or deed. And we wonder why the test, when we try to do our best, but we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome. We will understand it better. We'll understand it better by and by. Amen. For our last song, we're going to go to page 608. And after this song, we'll have an offering song. 608, we'll sing, Oh, That Will Be Glory.
Just to be near the dear. the gift of His infinite grace, I am accorded in heaven a place, just to be there and to look on His face, will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me. Look on His face, that will be glory for me. Friends will be there.
Pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank You once again to be able to gather together in Your name. Lord, we lift our pastor up to You. We lift his wife up to You as well, and all of our family and our church family. Father, we just pray that You would just calm our hearts, that You would help us to trust in You in all things. We thank You for this time to be able to give to You, and we pray that You would just accept our offering and that You would help us to further Your kingdom, and we ask it in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Alan and musicians. That was those songs that you guys played for us. It was may have just been me, but every one of them was like, that's it. That's what my heart is feeling. And it almost brought a tear to my eye. It's like, thank you, Lord, for that. I don't know if you guys have ever had that same experience in the song service, or, you know, it had to be exactly what that writer of that song was going through, what we're going through, or what I'm going through right now. But thank you all for leading us in music. I know a lot of us, there's days that we show up for church and we're like, I just want to go and listen. I don't really want to say or do anything. No one look at me. Just let me be here today. Alan and the rest of you don't have that luxury. You guys have to lead us, and we thank you for it. We probably don't say thank you enough for that. All right, so let's turn to the sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians. I invite you to stand at the reading of God's Word. We'll look at verses 10 through 20 once again. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities over the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. What a blessing it is in our life, and especially these last few weeks with this passage. I pray that you continue to teach it to us as we meet here to bring glory and honor to your name. Amen. Please be seated. Before we dive into that, I just want to kind of give you a personal testimony. I thank God for His good providence and bringing us in our Sunday school class to this chapter right at this time. The timing couldn't have been better for us to arrive at this place. That Romans passage that I quoted earlier in my prayer, that we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. This is one of those all things, right? We can say yes and amen to that. But also, Pastor riding to the hospital in the ambulance on Friday with not a clear head is also one of those all things. And we don't understand. We'll understand it better by and by, like the song we were singing earlier. But all things sometimes are good, and sometimes they're bad. But for this season in our life, I thank God that His Word is living and active. And His Word is sharper than a two-edged sword, dividing bone and marrow. And this passage has come alive to me this week. And I've been able to share that with my wife in the depths of despair when she's concerned for her father and our pastor. And I've been able to preach that to her, not preach like standing up here preach, but, you know, like we need to be preaching to ourselves and to each other daily, because we need constant reminders. And as I'm saying to that
saying this passage to her, it's reminding myself of the passage, because I need to continue to hear this time in and time out. And I thank you, a lot of the pastors that I've listened to when preaching on this text, they take this passage at a view of 10,000 feet. They want to cover all of it in one sermon. You guys have allowed me the last 3 weeks to just kind of painstakingly dissect this part by part. And the danger in that and what I'm doing is that this is all one passage. 10 through verse 20 is a whole passage. It's all in context. That's why I start by reading it, the whole thing from 10 to 20 altogether. But it's also in the context of the whole book of Ephesians, right? As we've said, the first three chapters are doctrine. The last three are practical for us in our lives. And obviously we can't preach the whole book of Ephesians in one Sunday morning. I wish we could, but we can't. And I can't even preach 10 through 20. I'm having trouble getting through one verse on a Sunday morning. We're like, yeah, but you've been all over the Bible. It's not just one verse, and that's right. It is all over the Bible, because the context of the entire Bible is all tied together, right? So I'm using God's word. I'm attempting to use God's word to interpret God's word. That's what we call exegesis. That's how we interpret God's word. We're not looking at God's word and using eisegesis, what I think, what I feel. It's we're using God's word to interpret God's word, and that's what I'm attempting to do. And I hope that's coming clear to you as it has been to me. So the things that we've covered so far in this whole armor of God is that in light of all the doctrinal truths of the first three chapters, in light of all the practical truths in the last three chapters, finally he's saying that we are to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That the only way that we're able to stand against the schemes or the wiles of the devil is for us to put on the whole armor of God. That's the only way we're able to stand. That we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we're fighting against this world. We're fighting against the remaining sin that we have in our own lives. And we're fighting against the devil and all his underlings and all the forces of darkness. And it's not going to be easy. And it's not going to be easy. And it's not going to be easy. It's not. The world lies to us all the time, making us want to believe, why is this happening to me? I don't deserve this. Paul is telling us in this book, it's not going to be easy. I was reminded this week of an old country song by Lynn Anderson, where she says the words to the song are, I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden. Along with the sunshine, there's got to be a little rain sometime. I could promise you things like big diamond rings, but you don't find roses growing on stalks of clover. Some of you are singing the next song, so you better think it over. I'm not much of a singer. I won't do that anymore. What do we get if there's no rain? If it didn't rain here for a year, what happens? Things start dying, and eventually you have a desert. We've seen deserts. We know what happens. That's why we take the sunshine, and we also need the rain to water the earth. But before Paul talks about the specifics of the armor, he begins verse 14, and this will just be a brief review of where we've been. But he says, stand therefore. Remember, it's this call for unwavering commitment. Unwavering commitment. Readiness with constant vigilance. Many of us treat our Christianity like Fur's cafeteria. or the Golden Corral or CC's Pizza, where I'll take a little bit of this and I'll take a little bit of that, and if that doesn't taste good, I'm not going to finish it. I'll just leave it there on the plate. But if we're truly Christians, we don't look at God's Word like a smorgasbord. We realize that we have been enlisted in the Lord's army. I remember as a kid learning that song, "I'm in the Lord's army." I'm not going to sing it, but it says, "I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never plunge toward the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir." All the hand gestures. I know some of you kids have do it because you're smiling. But we are in the Lord's army, and we are riding in the cavalry of God, and we're shooting His artillery with the sword of the Spirit, which we'll get to one day. Our summer's off to boot camp, and I know many of you have been in the military. And those first few days, what do you think of when they blow that reveille? Is that what it's called? The bugle? The wake-up song? If summer is like, oh, no. Nah, it's not going to happen. I need just give me 5 more minutes of sleep. I'm sure she heard, Tommy, I'm sure you heard that. Just give me a few minutes to wake up. Give me, just come back in an hour and then I'll be ready for PT. How would that have went for you? Though I wasn't in the military, but I've seen enough movies and I think I know how that would go. I'm pretty sure someone would come up to your bunk and flip it upside down and say, "You better get your tail end out now." Right? That's it. Okay, well, they're playing the bugle, and you better hit the deck. You better jump to your feet, and you better do what they say, right? Agreed? They're not playing taps first thing in the morning. And I challenge you, we've been talking about this call to war, right? I challenge you to start looking at our Christian life like we're in the Lord's army. He's calling us with the wake-up song every day, and He's telling us to put on His armor. Many of us are waking up every day like we're listening to taps. That the day is not done yet. It's just starting. When the Apostle Paul was telling the Corinthians to flee from sexual immorality in the 6th chapter, he tells them, "Or do you not know that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. For you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." For you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. You are not your own, is what he's telling us. Then in 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, he says, "Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot." I think it's part of us being Americans and the freedom thing. But we were slaves of sin. We were servants of darkness. We were serving the forces of darkness. We served the prince of the power of the air before we became Christians. But now we're slaves of Christ, slaves of righteousness. So this unwavering commitment that Paul is calling us to, it's not optional. It's not optional. Why do we live our lives like we're going to take this and we're going to take that, and if that hurts too bad, then I'm just not quite ready for that. What God is calling to us as Christians, He's not saying, we need our bunks turned upside down. We need the trash can with a hammer going through our bunk to wake up. And then He says, having fastened the belt of truth, it's fitting that the belt of truth is the first piece of the whole armor of God. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth and the life. And it is only through Him that we come to God. Therefore, truth is of the utmost importance in the life of a Christian. Without truth, the rest of the armor would be of no use to us because we would not have the spirit of truth. Absolute, unchanging, dependable truth of God's Word. And then we talked about the breastplate of righteousness. Before we move on to the next part, I just wanted to read this to you. There's a wonderful website called gotquestions.org. I check it out. You got to see it. Listen to this quote. It says, the breastplate of righteousness refers to the righteousness purchased for us by Jesus at the cross. At salvation, a breastplate is issued to each repentant sinner. It is specifically designed by God to protect our heart and soul from evil and deception. Our own religious acts are no match for Satan's attacks. The breastplate of righteousness has Christ's name stamped on it, as though He said, your righteousness isn't sufficient to protect you, wear mine. When armor is abused or worn incorrectly, it can malfunction. Likewise, there are several factors that can interfere with the effectiveness of our spiritual breastplate: carelessness, unbelief, abusing grace, or disobedience can hinder our ability to stand firm and defeat the enemy in our lives. When we tolerate sin, when we refuse to forgive, when we rely on personal righteousness or allow earthly concerns to crowd out time for an intimate relationship with God, we, in effect, take off the breastplate of righteousness, minimizing its power to protect us. So, what that's describing is the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's what we talked about a couple weeks ago. Not self-righteousness. And when we appreciate that for what it is, it does lead to practical righteousness, like we talked about. Please hear me. We're not saved by practical righteousness. We cannot be righteous enough. I want that said loud and clear, because Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no man may boast. No one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works. That's the practical righteousness that I'm talking about, which God prepared beforehand. James 2:14 through 26 says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but has not works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things they needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. So we see the importance. We're saved in Christ alone. Grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, scriptures alone, to the glory of God alone. Period. But because we are those things, we have works. We have good works. He created us for love and good works. Back to our passage in Ephesians. Let's look at verse 15, and that's where we'll spend the rest of our time today. I'm glad we got finished with that song service a little sooner. I've got more time today. Verse 15 says, "And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace." What is this verse all about? Well, Forrest Gump, remember him? He said, "My mama always said you can tell a lot about a person by their shoes, where they're going, where they've been." I like that. It has nothing to do with us understanding this verse, but I wanted to put your mind there, because what kind of shoes are you wearing right now? I'm not talking about your Vans, Ren. I'm not talking about your Kate Spades, ladies, or whatever kind of shoes you have on, or your muck boots, Reese. That's not the shoes we're talking about. We're talking about spiritual shoes. We're talking about gospel of peace shoes. Paul is telling us to put on the whole armor of God, and today he's telling us to put on the gospel of peace shoes. Not quarrelsome, argumentative, fighting, covetous, not friendship with the world shoes. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. The word readiness implies constant vigilance, right? Constant vigilance. And if we're part of the Lord's army, it reminds me of someone on being on watch. They're out to war, and some people lay down and try to get a couple hours of shut eye, and they put somebody on watch. You want that person to be constantly vigilant, right? Being part of God's army, we want to be constantly vigilant, all of us, right? Let me read you another quote from that Got Questions. This victorious soldier had to be prepared for battle. He had to have studied his enemy's strategy, be confident in his own strategy, and have his feet firmly planted so he could hold his ground when the attack came. A soldier's battle shoes were studded with nails or spikes like cleats to help him keep his balance in combat. He knew that if he lost his footing and went down, it wouldn't matter how great the rest of his armor was. The enemy had him. When we are ready with the gospel of peace, we live with the understanding that we are continually under attack from Satan. 2 Timothy 4:2 says, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season." The peace shoes that God supplies his soldiers have two purposes: defensive and offensive. In order to defend ourselves against the flaming arrows of the evil one, we must have confidence of our position in Christ. We must stand firm in the truth of God's word, regardless of how terrifying the circumstances may be. We must understand grace without abusing it. Remember that our position in Christ is not based on our own abilities or worthiness, and keep our belt of truth and breastplate of righteousness securely fastened. So when Satan attacks with flaming missiles of doubt, such as, if God really loved you, he wouldn't let this happen, we dig in. We dig those pea shoes in, the gospel of pea shoes in, into the turf of God's word. And what? How did the Lord Jesus reply when Satan attacked him, when Satan tempted him? How did the Lord Jesus fight that battle? He used Scripture. And that verse, all things work together for good to them who love God and are called according to His purpose. Is that a good one to use? Yeah, constantly. When Satan stabs us from behind and whispers in your ear, remember what you did? I told you 1 John 1:9 last week, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a promise. And that's how we are putting on the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. And that's part of the gospel of peace shoes that we should be wearing as believers. In addition to digging in deep, right, on the solid word of God, shoes are also for moving. Shoes are for going somewhere, right? God expects us to go on the offensive and take the gospel of peace to others. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Sharing our faith is one of the best ways to maintain our own sure footing. God knows that. When we are active in speaking of Him to others, we not only charge into Satan's territory, but we dig our shoes more deeply into truth and will be much harder to dislodge. When we have studied to show ourselves approved unto God, we are ready to stand firm in the gospel of peace no matter what the enemy brings us. That's good news, isn't it? What kind of shoes are you wearing? Are they quarrelsome, argumentative, worldly shoes? What's the habits of your life? How I asked you 2 weeks ago, how are your relationships? How's things going for you? Check in with yourself. I'm not asking for you to answer to all of us right here and now, but it's a healthy question for you to answer. What are you harboring in your heart? Is it love? Is it joy? Is it peace? Is it patience? Is it kindness? Is it mercy? Is it all those fruits of the Spirit? Are you harboring contempt within your heart? The gospel of peace shoes is not those things. Pastor reminded me of the 4th chapter of James yesterday. I said, I'm going to use that. You're preaching even though you're not here. And he wants to be back in this pulpit so much. Last week, I meant to share that with you last week. He said, hey, whenever whenever I get to feeling better, I'm going to tell you to move it on over. I said, I look forward to that day. We do, and I do. But this 4th chapter of James, starting in verse 1, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? husband, wife, Josh. Is it not this that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. He says, you adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose that it is to no purpose that the Scripture says, he yearns jealously over the Spirit that he has made to dwell in us, but he gives more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's right in the context of what we're talking about here. You see that? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's what he's calling us to do. Don't make room for the devil to sit down beside you and whisper in your ear, it's okay to watch that, even when you know it's not okay to watch that. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. That's a strong passage, isn't it? Is that, people say, I just don't understand the Bible. Is this difficult to understand? This is plain as day. This is plain as the nose on your face. Look at it. Study it. See what it's saying. It is not hard to understand James chapter 4. Sister Frankie shared a Charles Spurgeon quote last night that said, I have to lie humbly at the foot of the cross and marvel that I'm saved at all. I like that, and that applies to what we're talking about, because that's where we all are. The only thing that I would add to that when we're talking about this, I used to have a football coach, and I don't know why I thought of this, but you'd get knocked down on the playing field, and you could hear him screaming from the sideline, get up and hit somebody, in an old raspy football coach voice. I heard him say that whenever I read that quote, except for it wasn't get up and hit somebody, it was get up and tell somebody. If you're at the foot of the cross, wondering how he could save me, a wretch, condemned, unclean, is it truly marvelous? Is it wonderful? And my song shall ever be. Do you think he may want to tell somebody about it? Our family camp verse, one of them, Isaiah 52 verse 7 says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. That's good news. When we think of the gospel, when we think of the gospel, we need to think of it in terms of the past, the present, and the future. Okay? The gospel, that which we believe and are saved. We have been saved. We are being saved. And we will be saved. While we were yet sinners, past. Christ died for us. Put on the gospel of peace, present, as we long for our resurrected, glorified, sinless bodies. Future. Past, present, and future. Okay? It's Satan's lie for you to say, I prayed a prayer at False Creek, and I'm going to go live like hell the rest of my life. That's Satan's lie that he wants to trick people with. Because if that's the testimony of your heart and there's been no change, if there's been no following the Lord and pursuing righteousness, were you ever saved? There's another song that came to my mind. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when, in scenes of glory, I sing the new song, 'twill be the old, old story that I have loved so long. Felt like that would be an appropriate place to close the message today. But think about where we've been. We're commanded, finally, after all the doctrine, after everything, to put on, to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Have you, since in the last few weeks, have you recognized any schemes? Have you seen, like, that's a scheme of the devil and I am not falling for it this time? Because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Remember that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood when that person at work who has a different political opinion than you tries to antagonize you. They're not the enemy. Do we stand? Do we speak truth in love? Yes, we do. I don't know about you, but during this current political climate, when I'm antagonized, there's times I don't feel love in my heart for that. And that's part of the schemes of the evil one. It's not, we don't need to look at that person and want to condemn that person to hell for having, guess what? You and I are all different. Every single person in this room is different. You go out there and look at the beautiful fall colors that God created. Why are they so beautiful? Because they're different. There's different trees with different leaves. And that's, we love that. We love the diversity of God's creation. Please don't misunderstand me. We speak truth in love. When something is evil, we call it evil. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying that that person, just because they don't share the same views with us or as you or as me, we need to share the gospel with them. They need to hear it. It's a lost and dying world out there. I hope the person I'm voting for wins. Do I think if he doesn't win, there's things could get bad? Yes, I do. But that's not our, this is not our home. This world is not our home. If the person you hope wins doesn't win, we're just passing through this world. We're supposed to be sojourners. We're supposed to be aliens. I get so bent out of shape when the cares of this world are holding on to me. And that's when we buy into the schemes of the devil. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. So take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand an evil day, which is today, which is tomorrow. Remember, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having fastened the belt of truth, put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance. Don't give up. We can't give up. Never give up. Never give up. Making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that the words may be given to me in my mouth, opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and I just pray that you would continue to teach me this lesson, that you would continue to teach us this lesson. Lord, we know that your word is alive. It's living, and it's active, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword, as we've already said. And we know that it has great power as it is working, and I pray that you would have it to work in us. Lord, that we would look at your word and look at our lives, and that we would be quick to repent and line up our lives with your word. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see our Christianity as being enrolled in your army, and that the things that you have for us are not optional. I pray that you would help us to live in light of the truth found in your word. Bless these truths to our lives in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you'll stand and turn to page 601.
Some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away, oh, I'll fly away, oh, glory, I'll fly away in the morning when I die. Hallelujah. When the shadows of this life have gone, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison walls have flown, I'll fly away. Oh, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away in the morning when just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away, oh, I'll fly away, oh.
Yes. Yes. 2 o'clock, Steve's service at Angus Church, right? All right, Friday. Brother Mark, would you dismiss us, please?